Welcome to the podcast for the sisters and bros. It will make you laugh from your head to your toes. Talking about their lives, from the highs to the lows. And the name of the title goes, The Sloppy Joes.
Welcome everyone to the Sloppy Joes podcast. It is a lovely Tuesday and I'm joined by the lovely Joe Smith.
How you doing, mate?
Very good.
Good to see you.
Great to see you too. We've seen a lot of each other recently.
It's nice though, isn't it?
It is nice. What are you looking up and down at me for?
No, I like the fleece. It's sort of a Barney the Dinosaur theme.
It is, and I like Barney. Mm-hmm. He was the first gig I ever saw live.
Gig?
He did a tour of the UK.
What?
He did a stage show.
Covers?
At the arena. Yeah, covers, some originals. What are you laughing at?
Did he do a music concert?
Yeah. I got one of those like sort of spinny sort of like light up things. All the kids were using it, like flashing sunglasses. Yeah. Loads of sugary sweets. So you're off your rocker.
Off your trolley. How are you doing?
I'm very good, mate.
You're looking well.
Cheers.
You don't actually
hate when you say that because there is menace behind those words.
No,
there is, Joe.
You look good. That sweatshirt looks like you own a kennels and cattery. That's what you look like. Do you know when you drop your dog off at the kennel?
Yes.
The owner of the kennel always wears that.
I'll tell you why I've got this sweatshirt on.
Because
I've realised that underneath I'm wearing the same top I wore on Friday's
pod. Have a look.
No, it's the same sort of jumper.
It's nice, that one. The champion
one. It's got a stain down it.
What stain?
Beans.
Yeah.
What was your first ever gig?
My first ever gig, thanks for asking, was Fun Song Factory.
Fun Song Factory.
Fun Song.
Where are they from?
Factory. I don't know where they're from. But they were, again, as kids, sort of touring production. I got very nervous. My first actual...
Why did you get nervous? Well, you weren't on the stage.
No, because I always just have a fear as a kid that they were going to ask me to go on stage.
What, like as in like someone's
style.
Fallen, they need, you know,
no,
a
like,
whippersnapper.
Who wants to come and do a little song on the stage? Come on! And then they come out into the aisles and like grab some kid and steal him and put him on the stage.
Wow.
Yeah, like Macaulay Culkin.
Like Cheeky Bang Bang was scary, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That sort of thing. So I was a bit worried about it. But I went to see Smash Hits, which was 2000, all your stars. I think like a bit of Mystique were on there, Sugar Babe. There was a Westlife knocking about.
Just the one babe, by the way.
Yeah, just the one babe. The other two were doing Milton Keynes. But this was Sheffield. It was amazing.
This is the Sugar Babe. Well, Ethan James is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Ah, hello, everyone.
What was your first ever gig, Ethan?
My first ever gig was The Script with my Year 7 girlfriend and her dad.
Wow.
A couple of weeks ago?
No, not a couple of weeks ago, quite a while ago.
She's on to her year nines now.
Oh,
is she?
So, was it a good experience, Ethan? Did you love it?
Yeah, quite like the script, like the man who can't be moved, tunes like that.
Was that her dad, by any chance?
Yeah, okay.
How did that go? So, let's imagine, the Script are quite a romantic, kind of emotional band, aren't they?
Yeah, I love the Script.
Yeah. So, let's imagine, year seven, you're probably not doing it much more, but maybe a bit of hand-holding, maybe you want to go in for that kiss. How does that work when daddy's sat next door?
Well, you see, the only reason I got into the Script was because this girl liked the script, so
of course.
I started like going on YouTube, watching the songs, revising some lyrics, and then trying to impress her. Then eventually, she got us tickets to the big gig. The dad was there, and like you say, you can't really make a move.
Ethan, if you don't mind me asking, how did this, you know, love end?
We're dating for like over 3 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Time, isn't it?
Is she the person that you lost your...
You had like 4 kids already.
No, I didn't.
What's that mean?
You move quick.
Oh, right. Well, I ain't got any kids.
Well, you've not had 3 years yet. You've had a year. You've got a house.
So, is she the woman who you lost your keys at her house?
No. It's a bizarre way of putting things. No, I didn't. I've got a story about Danny O'Donoghue, actually, who is the, for context, the lead singer of the Script.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
My friend Jack, who works at Manchester United in the hospitality bit,
brilliant.
He was he met Danny O'Donoghue and he pretended he didn't know who he was. And Danny O'Donoghue was trying to like say, oh, no, I'm from the Script. So he started serenading my friend Jack, all right? And Jack was like, oh, yeah, he's quite
what
a cool...
What song was it?
Oh, I can't remember, true. But anyway, Jack's a very calm, cool, collected customer. And he didn't really, like, give much away. And then it turns out a few months later, I was talking to Jack. He must have really enjoyed it because he came out as gay.
What? Wait.
I don't know what happened.
Just slow.
Who came out as
slow.
Gay? Jack slow. Or Danny O'Donoghue?
Oh, sorry, my friend Jack did, but he must have really been enjoying that Danny O'Donoghue experience and trying to, like, keep him going. Because obviously it turns out that must be a really, like, exciting experience for him.
Hang on a sec. So you're basically saying that Danny O'Donoghue from the script turned your mate gay?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he must have... Jack was trying to play all calm. He was really... He was trying
is
to encourage us.
That was the moment where he realised?
No, what I'm trying to say, Drew, is like...
What are you trying to say?
This is what he's trying to say.
Very, very
makes
clear
a lot
here.
Of sense.
He was... he was trying to make Danny O'Donoghue like serenade and impress him.
Ah, he must have been enjoying it.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense ish. Was that? I don't know if that was.
I think we can just about leave it in. But
did you speak to Jack? Did you speak to him regularly?
Oh, yeah, he's my best mate, Jack. I love Jack.
Have we met Jack?
Never heard or met Jack.
Oh, no.
Never heard of him, never mentioned him once. Oh, he's your best mate.
He's your best mate. He's come to a live show.
No, but he's moved to London these days. Very clever guy. Very clever guy. Goldman Sachs.
Wow. And look at you here, Ethan.
Well, yeah, you can't even play an instrument and he's playing a gold sax. That's incredible.
Right, Joe.
Yeah.
The elephant in the room is my gushing hair. Is that the right word for it? Is gushing like...
No, gushing is juicy.
Juicy hair.
But it is kind of juicy.
I'm heading into my fourth week of using suns.co.uk's hair products.
Yep.
You get the tablets, get the sprays, you get the vitamin, sachets where you pop a vitamin.
Love it.
And you get the beautiful shampoo, which does smell delicious. I am finding, here's the thing, I am finding sometimes when I'm in the shower and I go for a shower previously to using suns that hairs would be on the way out.
You notice in a sort of a plug hole kind of meetup.
Escaping. Yeah. And I'm like, no, where are you going?
Yeah.
And I've got to say, since using suns.co.uk, no parties.
Really?
I feel like they're holding on.
The plug hole is clear.
To dear life. All the little elements from the tablets to the vitamins are doing their job and they're keeping my hair strong.
Well, that's great.
And if you fancy it, you can head over to suns.co.uk. You can use the code Joe40 to get 40% off your first order. There are no contracts involved in this. You buy the product and then you use it and hopefully you see results like myself.
Great.
Head over there now, use that code and you can save a good bit of cash.
Great.
Really good bit of cash.
Use the code Joe40 to get 40% off. Can't ask for more than that, can you? The link to that is in the description. Have hair like Joe's using Suns.
Have hair like yours eventually.
Have hair like mine using suns.co.uk.
Lots going on this week. Weekend was good.
Yeah.
Took my mum to a gig that she liked. Very different experience going to a gig with your parents.
As opposed to someone else's parents, like Ethan.
That's true. I was looking out for Ethan trying to batter my mum as she left the toilets. He wasn't anywhere to be seen.
Batter your mum?
Because that's what you do. You wait for older people, don't you, to leave the lavatory before starting a fight with them.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Yeah, okay, I get you now. Yeah.
So when you say it's a different experience going to a gig with your mum, what, is she not into sort of MCAT as much as you?
Oh, no, and the rest. She'd lead the way. Where'd you get that from? How'd you sneak that in here? You want to be more, less in it. So it was there was the floor of the Albert Hall, which is quite, you know, packed, and that's where maybe the crazier people go for let's just say mini mosh pits or topless dancing. Unfortunately,
she was in there. She was straight in there doing both.
Unfortunately,
topless mosh pits.
That was a ban from that because we stood up on the sort of ceiling fit of this first, second floor, whatever you want to call it. So you have more
the balcony.
The
ceiling. Like, going in like Mission Impossible, upside down on wires.
So we watched it there, and there was a great bit where I said to my mum, listen, it's quite crowded here at the balcony, but there's a little VIP bit over there. If we just walk in with confidence, no one will know. And that's what we did. We strutted our way in, straight into the VIP bit. Come in. Nothing was said. Don't know why. And then that's what they had there. I've never seen this at a gig before.
Punch bag?
Someone was, what do you mean, like one of those things that you whack and see how,
how many
see what score
you get.
Yeah. You ever done that?
Yeah.
What did you get?
800 and something.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You didn't, you're lying.
All right. I was like 16.
You were 16, you got 800 and something. That's pretty good,
isn't it? The pier in Aberystwyth.
Oh, nice.
It was probably an easy one. It was probably like a kid's one.
Have you ever hit that? Ethan, I bet you got a minus score.
Yes, so when I went to Preston once, I had to go in the old punch bag, and it was Minisher and a friend's there, and they said, go on, give it a go, Ethan. So I went, all right. I've never really punched anything before, so I gave it a good old swing, and I got one.
Oh, that is... Do you know what? Do you know what's bad about that is?
What?
That is bad. Because sometimes it fails and gives you zero because you know you've not maybe not hit it in the right way. But one means you've hit it in the right way.
One means you've landed the punch, it's knocked the bag up into its sort of mooring, and it's registered the minimum possible power.
You come out with words and I think, where's he got that from?
What?
What's a mooring?
A mooring is where like a boat would sort of sit. So it's like a sort of a, the mooring is a...
You make some stuff up, you.
Google mooring.
A mooring?
What's the definition
what's
of a mooring?
Mooring? I feel like we're mooring when someone dies.
Google mooring. M-O-O-R-I-N-G. So you've hit it, it's registered, but it's the literal minimum possible power you could have.
That's right, true. But after that...
Did that really... Who were you there with, sorry?
I was...
Did that make her go, wow, this guy can look after me?
Well, I was there with Vinisha.
You see, we were fighting a balloon.
Well, it happened fully enough afterwards, true. I nearly won the grand prize.
What grand prize?
What do you mean?
The softest
what
possible
grand
punch.
Prize?
So if you hit the exact number that it's on, so it'll have like a few numbers and say a number correlates to a prize. Right. I think I nearly won an iPhone because I had to get 670 exactly and I got 671.
Oh,
how unfortunate.
I bet it's
that?
Impossible. Because it's electric. It's not an analog like you're not lifting like a bell in a tower.
Yeah.
It just decides for you what the number is.
Can
I think they're fake anyway. What does mooring mean, by the way?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Right, I don't know where it came from though. Well, can we speak about sort of all linking in together?
Yeah.
Speak about seaside towns.
Oh yeah.
Because I went to one this week to do a little bit of filming. Morecambe. Oh. Have you ever been to Morecambe?
You've got Morecambe than sense. You have. That's weird.
What?
I don't know.
More cum than sense.
Yeah. As I said it, I thought, what am I actually saying?
My cum levels are just average.
Yeah.
How are yours, Ethan?
Oh yeah, ticking along nicely, thank you.
Right.
If you...
Here we go.
No. We're not doing that. No, we're sticking with seaside because this is diabolical.
Be serious here.
I hate this.
If you were to wank at that punch bag, do you think you'd get more than one with the force?
Probably, yeah. I think I'd be like... Is it like 2,000?
Yeah.
Or maybe like...
2,000.
Maybe like... 12 or something.
Right, seaside towns. The weird places.
Seaside towns are their own sort of world, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're all the same. Wherever you are in the country, you can be northeast, you can be southwest. You know you're in a seaside town, even without seeing the sea. The way the shops are laid out, the way that there's always sort of black painted iron bars everywhere
for some reason. Yeah, there's little mini casinos.
Always like little mini casinos.
Machines, ice creams and...
Yeah.
And just a little bit of element of bleakness.
There's a bleakness to them,
isn't
there?
As soon as you get off the seafront, it gets weird.
Yeah.
And Morecambe was like that. A really nice seafront. I suspect it was lovely, a bit sunnier at times. But it was a bit rainy, so it was just like dog walkers and families and maybe an older lot going on an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you got past the seafront, it was bleak. It looked like a sort of BBC One crime show.
Mm.
Do you know, like, it was a bit... But I love Morecambe seafront. It was great. That was great.
But you think the rest of it is like a crime show?
Yes.
Full of trucks.
What about...
Not full of trucks. It's not full
I
of
want you
pepperamis.
To rank these three places.
Yeah.
Whitby. Cleethorpes. Southport.
I think Cleethorpes is a little bit different because I've actually explored there. It's not as rough. Yeah. Southport is a bit on the rougher side.
Interesting.
Do you know what? Here's what I got told here. There's a hotel in Southport called the Salford. And it's only for people from Salford allowed to go.
That's true.
It's true.
How could they possibly stay in business?
Salford Council have owned it for like hundreds of years.
How could they stay in business?
Because a load of people in Salford go to it.
No.
And Salford own it. So you own it. You own it. They own it outright.
Council, the council doesn't have hotels.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
It must have been like an initiative in the 40s or the 30s.
Have you ever seen a council hotel anywhere, Ethan?
Have you been looking?
That's just a lie. That's one of your lies.
Right, here we go. You two chat about how you'd rank them seaside towns and I'll find it.
I like Cleethorpes. Steele's Fish and Chips is excellent.
It is good. How did you go there?
Because I've been to Cleethorpes quite a few times.
Have you? Why?
Not. Do you know that people go to restaurants for reasons other than to just review them for TikTok?
No. But I mean, why have you been?
How did you find out about that? That mystery.
You've never told me you've been to Cleethorpes.
The Salfordian Hotel.
The Salfordian Hotel. Affordable holidays in Southport for people over 50. The Salfordian Hotel, blah, 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 owned by
the council. Say only for people from Salford.
Where does it say owned by the council?
Our charming period hotel is run by Salfordian Trust and caters mainly is a good word, for older Salford residents.
Right.
Whoa, I won't read the rest of that.
I'll give you that, because that's a thing I didn't know existed, even though it's not what you described. It's still
sort
quite
of what I was describing.
Yeah, it's not far off.
Fully licensed bar, wet room. What's a wet room?
Ethan's room, after he's had a good night in it. By the sound of things, anyway. 8:12 on the machine.
Yeah. I didn't know you were Cleethorpes. Why have you told me it's Cleethorpes? Because Becky's from that way.
Yeah.
So you've never brought it up in conversation.
Well, I don't know.
What were you doing in Cleethorpes?
We used to go there sometimes.
No, you do walk the dog. You do something weird. There's no way you go all the way to Cleethorpes to walk a dog.
Well, we're from Nottinghamshire, aren't I? So Worksop is, you're closer to the East Coast. So I'm talking your Whitbys, your Skegnesses, your Cleethorpes, your Inglemills.
I've never been to Whitby, but I heard it's nice.
It's lovely.
Whitby's probably the best of the best, is it not?
It's got an abbey. It's got a...
Who's that?
No, it's an old church sort of run down. It's got two whale ribs that sort of cross over like that, and you can walk underneath it.
Take nice pictures.
It's where Dracula turned up and that.
Is it?
Yeah. It's nice, Whitby.
I think Whitby's up there as best, then Cleethorpes, then
great fish
Southport.
And chips in Whitby.
Yeah, probably
You've heard
best.
Of the Magpie, haven't you? It's famous. The Magpie.
The Magpie.
It's very, very well known in the fish and chip community.
Is it the best of the best?
It's known to be the best of the best. There's always people that are going to tell you that, oh, it's actually not the Magpie, it's the one next door that's better and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but if you want a really good fish and chips, you're not going to go far wrong with the Magpie.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Well, can I say then, Blackpool, right. For me, is a special place.
I'll agree with that.
I think it trumps on its heyday.
It smells of trumps.
On its heyday, I think it trumps everywhere. It's what a wild experience.
Trumps everywhere. In
it
what
is
way?
The best of the best.
Stop saying platitudes.
Wow.
Give me specifics.
Why do you
say wow? It is the best
it
of the best.
The
why?
Best
wow.
Of the best.
Why?
Incredible fun fair. Loads of great casinos.
Right.
And playgrounds.
Playgrounds?
Like fun grounds.
Fun grounds. Even less of a thing. Playgrounds is a thing, but it makes you like a paedophile. Fun grounds don't exist. So, carry on.
The Blackpool Tower.
Yeah, that's
incredible.
Yeah.
It's got a Madame Tussauds.
How have you not said the Pleasure Beach?
I did say it's a great fun fair. The Pleasure Beach.
There we go.
Is incredible.
Yeah, that is true.
One of the best rides ever.
What is?
The big one.
The what?
The big one.
Yeah.
It's one of the best rides ever.
Yeah.
So Blackpool wins it all for me.
Blackpool is good for that reason. The Pleasure Beach is way better than people make it out to be.
Yeah,
I've only
brilliant.
Ever been once. People act like it's like run down and loads of shit rides. There's like new, really good roller coasters there.
Yeah.
The Grand National is a
terrifying.
Absolute spinal compression in a can. You go over, it's just like hill, but... Your back just gets squashed over and over again. But it's fantastic. Blackpool Pleasure Beach is great. I told you when we went, didn't I?
We hid
our pita breads down the back of the
which is wild,
down the back of the lockers, because I'm not paying for lunch.
Why wouldn't you pay for
it's
lunch?
It's like £8.90 for chips.
No, it's not. You get fish with it. Ethan, you're by the sea, you're not.
Oh! Yeah, go on, Ethan.
I'm by the sea. What?
In Salford, Keys. That's by the sea, isn't it?
Oh, well, yeah, Newcastle's not too far. Yeah, we've got a few, like, seafronts and that. I love Blackpool, by the way. Mm. What a place. They've got, on the pier, they've got all the slushes you could possibly imagine. Lime slush, they've got cola slush, they've got lemon slush.
Okay, so
they've got
slushes. I know flavours.
Giving me another flavour, Ethan, that he might not have imagined was in there.
All kinds of
peanut slush.
Peanut slush.
Beans.
Beans slush.
Yeah, they do a minestrone slush.
Do they?
Little bits of pasta running through it.
I like minestrone. It's like minestrone soup.
Love it. As opposed to minestrone shoes.
What are you talking about?
You went, I love minestrone. Do you like minestrone soup? Like, there are other types of minestrone that we're all sort of thinking of.
Yeah, that's true.
Can I play a game with you?
Yes, of course.
I've got a list here of early 2000s UK kids TV shows.
Okay.
And I want, and Ethan, you remember some of these. Some of these might be slightly before your time. I want your quick fire reviews of these shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Okay? And any quick sentence you've got on them. But I've got quite a lot to get through here. 50-50.
Oh, great. I always thought, why isn't our school in 50-50? But I'd get nervous at the final rounds that I'd let my school down and you'd be bullied for life.
Yeah.
Because it is nerve-wracking. If you're one of the kids.
High pressure.
Was the reward any good? What did you get?
I don't even remember. It felt like books for school vouchers or something like that.
Oh, fuck that then.
Out of 10?
7 out of 10.
Do you remember 50-50, Ethan?
Not a clue.
Okay, get your own back. Dave Benson Phillips, Gunge in its prime. Do you remember this?
I sort of remember it. What was the concept?
So this was the one where you would come into the TV show and you go, my stepdad's so annoying. He always plays his car music really loud when he picks us up from school. I want to get my own back on it. Yeah.
My stepdad's so annoying. Yeah.
He tried to make me join a terror cell.
No.
That was just anyone. And then over a series of challenges, my annoying stepdad, your sort of terrorist stepdad, will both go head to head, and whoever loses will get dunked at the end.
Yes, I remember this. Great show.
Out of 10.
I always felt slightly sorry for the dads at the end, but it was a 7.5.
Yeah. Chuckle Vision, classic.
Unbelievable
to you.
Pardon?
No, I mean it's unbelievable to you.
Of course, yeah.
To me, it was more than that. It was life changing, revolutionary. I love that we found out that there was a third chuckle when he married a 21-year-old.
Did
remember
he?
That?
What?
No. You're the one who used to say no slacking all the time.
Yeah.
And no slacking. He married someone that was like 70 years younger than him.
Chuckle Vision, do you think they sort of did a thing when I was in uni where they'd go on tour and do like tours of...
Yeah.
I mean, only one of them is alive now.
Paul.
Chuckle, yeah. Is alive now, which is sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is Chuckle there? It's not their real second.
It's the real second. Yeah, they've changed it by deed, Paul.
So Barry's dead.
Yeah.
How did he die?
I don't know.
Ethan, can you Google that, please? It was great. 8.5 out of 10.
8.5. Arthur.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was good. DW. Am I getting the right one?
Yeah.
Like the Wigan Ground. I always got them confused when I was growing up.
Did you? What, you accidentally... What?
I thought turned Arthur's up at the sister DW was a stadium.
To watch a game of Arthur.
Yeah, I think... no, I didn't like Arthur. 6 out of 10.
I'm just going to run a few past you at Moan of the Vampire. Quick score.
Yeah, 7 out of 10.
Hey Arnold.
Not for me. 5 out of 10.
Fairly Odd Parents.
Fairly Odd Parents was decent. 8 out of 10.
Recess.
Oh, now we're in the big ones. The big leagues.
Now,
film Recess was incredible.
The reason I wanted to bring this up is because
You say anything about that?
So much like...
No, I don't.
The kid from Recess.
No, I don't.
You do.
Hold on. All this was an elaborate ploy to bring up that I look like the larger kid in Recess. I don't.
Can we add a picture, please, of what's he called? Mikey from Recess, please, Ethan. Can we just pop that in? You see it?
I do see it. I don't. He hasn't got a beard.
No, but you
and his hairline's great.
There's a little widow's peak action going on there. Okay, last couple. Basil Brush.
Nah, he's annoying, isn't he, Basil?
Basil.
He is annoying, though. He's a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give that one a...
Bum, bum.
7 out of 5.
Excuse me?
Shit, 7 out of 10. Sorry, my head's gone a bit now, because you caused a little Mikey from Recess.
What about Raven?
Oh, where you go and basically... No, because that was a little bit scary because I thought the kids just got killed.
Yeah, that Scottish guy who had that wicked ring that had like a beak on it.
He had a wicked ring.
Yeah, I remember his little ring.
I see.
The Way of the Warrior. You remember
the Way of the Warrior.
His little ring piece that he used to wear.
What's he doing now?
He's locked in the Matrix now.
He's one of those where you wouldn't be surprised if something, you know...
Yeah.
Was afoot.
The Way of the Warrior, but it's in his basement.
Oof.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to give that one an 8 out of 10.
I love that one. I'm going to give that one a 10 out of 10. Ethan, Biker Grove...
Biker Groove, yeah. I didn't really get to watch much of it though, but I know of Biker Groove.
Well, you're not allowed to watch much TV as a kid?
No, it's just a little bit before my time again.
I've got three more. Ghost Hunter, do you remember this? Where is that woman who used to try and get the shoeshine boy all the time?
No.
There was an old Victorian ghost boy who was like a shoeshine boy in his former life, and there's a ghost hunter who used to go around with a staff that the head of which would open and suck ghosts in. And what? She'd have a little sidekick called Disniff. Do you remember him?
Disniff.
He was called.
He's one of my mates.
It was called Disniff, and they used to try and find the shoe shine boy all the time.
Disniff?
Okay.
No, I don't remember it.
Ka-ching?
No, don't remember that.
That was one that was about making money. It was sort of, you know, these young lads who were making businesses all the time. And finally, Dick and Dom in the Bungalow.
Dick and Dom in the Bungalow was an incredible piece of telly.
Yeah.
If you don't remember it, it was like a live show, or you thought it was as live on a Saturday and a Sunday morning, where you'd honestly think that these kids would be staying overnight with Dick and Dom in the Bungalow.
Yeah.
And they'd do like games, there'd be special guests, there'd be people plugging stuff.
Diddy Dick and Dom?
Diddy Dick and Dom. There was the puppets, the Dick and Dom puppets.
That was Diddy Dick and Dom.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I was getting up with Diddy Ant and Deck. Do you know they have mini Ant and Deck?
Yeah.
But they didn't do Diddy Dick and Dom. Diddy Dick and Dom were the puppets, of course. And I used to love it. And then the show would end at 12 or whatever. And you used to believe that then the kids would just probably stay there all night, getting up to all sorts, like, you know, out of their minds and smarties. You thought, that's the life.
Have you ever applied to be on a kids' TV show?
No.
Have you, Ethan?
Yeah, I have applied. Did you remember this, Joseph?
Yeah, is this all elaborate, like, sort of... Freudian?
It's called production.
Yeah, it is called production.
Someone's got to do it.
It's called production.
Tell me more about that. That's surprising to hear.
Yeah, I once applied to go on Prank Patrol.
Oh, I love it. Who was the target?
So let me read you for anyone who hasn't seen Prank Patrol, while you're discussing that, I'm going to get the sort of the Wikipedia of it.
Yeah, of course. Cool. Well, yeah, but the person who I targeted to prank was my friend Neve from Theatre Nights, as you
Oh, here it is. It's all coming back.
And
Theatre Nights.
The big
is Theatre Nights like Boogie Nights? Like a sort of Mexican themed dancing film.
Or just eat fajitas, Joe.
Oh, right,
so I guess
that makes more sense.
Yeah. And the big idea that I pitched to them was that would
stick your knob in a fajita
for meter.
The big prank was I was gonna invite Neve into the woods.
Right.
Slow down.
While you compose yourself and we'll get this. I'm gonna read what this show is for anyone who never saw it. Prank Patrol is a British show that was made by Baker Media for CBBC, which specialised in kids programming. It was hosted by Barney Harwood, and the idea of the show, the format, was based on an original Canadian series where a child nominates his or her friend to play a prank on. Barney Harwood then arrives in his van with the prank ninjas and organises to prank at Prank HQ.
Question.
They usually are assisted by someone in that prank area of expertise. After preparing everything, it is then prank day, which is when the prank will then be executed.
Did you say Bacon Media?
Baker.
Oh, okay.
So that's still open for you.
Hearing things. So tell us, you're going to go into the woods.
So I was going to invite Neve into the woods, and then...
These are usually things, by the way, like, oh, we'll see you at Alton Towers, and they turn up, and Alton Towers is closed. And then actually, they opened it, and it was fine.
Yeah, so we'll go into the woods, and then we'd stumble across a UFO that was just crashing into the woods, right? And then we'd go into the UFO, and we'd meet, like, an alien and that who would, like, kidnap her. And then
hold her for 6 months.
It was all right, and it would end with her getting gunged by this green slime. Something like, I can't remember what the punchline was, like to clone her or something.
Imagine that. How long was she going to be kidnapped for?
Oh, well, once the gunging was a classic, like, way to end things. So gunja, and then it was all a big prank, and everyone reveals themselves. That was the idea.
Everyone reveals. What was the hell? What a day.
Barney, not you, mate.
The alien.
Jesus Christ! You and those ninjas better put it away. I'm the one revealing myself, not you, lad. What a show, though.
Have you mentioned your favourite show yet in that list?
My favourite show growing up.
Yeah.
Raven was up there. I loved that. Do you remember Stupid?
Oh, yeah, I do remember Stupid.
Stupid was amazing. So the theory of this show was, it was basically a king. And I'm just going to try and find it. Stupid TV show.
Stupid TV
show. It was
show.
A king that ruled over this land where in different portions of his land were different sort of sketches that were going on that he would look at and be sort of fuming with. But basically, there was all these different sets. So there's one where this person just used to say Devil Finger.
Do you know he is a lead singer of a band now?
Is he?
In Manchester.
Devil Finger. I see him sometimes. I've served Devil Finger coffee before.
Have you?
Yeah.
What does he get?
I don't know, but he stirs it like that. I genuinely, I used to serve him coffee. And then there was his rival, it was a woman, and she used to call it Bendy Wendy. And she'd go like that, and she'd poke him. Then there was a mum who was clearly having a nervous breakdown looking back, who instead of making a kid like toys or whatever, she'd just knit him stuff. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
So he'd come in and go, quick, come in, I've got you a present. I've got you a play drive. And he's going, oh my God, I've always wanted a play drive. And then he comes in and sits down and goes, I've got you a knitted play drive. And there's a little games concert. And then one time, one of them, so obviously sometimes it's just a bit silly like that. And then one of them, he comes in from school, mum's stood at the door going, Dad's come back. He'd left us, but Dad's come back. And then he goes into the kitchen and there's this woolen dad going, it's a nitty dad. He's just knitted him a new dad. And you think, yeah. And then the other one, there's another one on it, where it was like this bloke and they're all, it was like a sort of scout leader and he'd take all the kids out, but instead of being at like the scout hut, they'd be like a Wilco's car park and he could go, and here you can see the footsteps of a fancy man. And basically his wife was cheating on him with this bloke and they'd always be trying to track the fancy man. And then eventually they'd like bump into his wife having sex or snogging this bloke. There he is, like the fancy man. He's doing his work now. Get him, kids, get him.
Oh, man,
and they're only like,
so
little scout gear on, but it's like about divorced families and parents who had lost their minds after harsh divorces and stuff. It was great. What a show.
Mine was the Power Rangers.
Love
Mighty the Power Morphin. Rangers. Yeah, and used to always have like the different routines, didn't they, before they started turning into one. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I used to master that in the first couple
of... You used to do what to it?
Master that in the dance.
Good to say.
Maybe.
Pink Ranger.
Right, so quickly, before the 9 out of 10 club, it smells delicious, by the way.
It does.
We've got something to play for you. This is what the patrons get. We do these special editions of the podcast where I talk about shit in my mouth.
We've got a little clip from this week's edition. Again, this is Patreon exclusive. If you want to see the full video, make sure you check the link in the description. Patreon.com/Sloppy Joe's Podcast. And this is a little clip of Joe shitting his pants.
I'm walking in the woods and I'm sort of, you know, realising the situation that's afoot and will be by my foot soon.
Nice.
Thank you. I sort of think to myself, right, I'm on a path here and other dog walkers has easily come onto this path. What I need to do is go into the woods.
Off the beaten track.
Get myself really in there and disturb some wildlife.
Oh yeah.
And I can tell you, I did. I got really, really in there. Bent down,
blew it out
everywhere.
Blew the back doors off it.
When you are going through this, not much is going through your mind. You are sort of like, you know, you're all, your head's gone.
You're just blissing out.
Yeah. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. I lost the dog.
No.
Lost the dog.
He shit his dog away.
For about 10-15 minutes, I couldn't find Buck.
Did you not have him on the lead?
No, because I don't want him that close to me.
Yeah, you don't.
He's a well-trained dog normally.
But he will drink straight from the fountain, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God. I don't even think it was like a fondue.
The ice cream machine at Pizza Hut.
Ooh. Yeah, where the smarties at.
Yeah, exactly. Hemorrhoids.
No. So that was a hemorrhoids. I've never had a hemorrhoid.
Oh,
have you?
Oh, big time.
What are they?
It's sort of like a... that, but out your ass.
Really?
It's sort of like, imagine, it's hard to describe it really. Imagine like bubble wrap, but that's your own bum instead.
Wow. And can you pop them?
Not really, no. You just sort of wait for them to go away.
Bubble wrap was weird because I like bubble wrap. Don't think I'd like hemorrhoids.
Just sort of everything sort of buckles a little bit.
Everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah, literally, that is what it is. But yeah, don't worry about that. I'm going now. I'm fine now.
So it was a chaotic day.
So where was the dog?
The dog, I had to find him by the... well, he's often by food and there was a little cafe kiosk and he was in the queue. Very polite. Something like that. I said, has anyone seen this dog? And he was there in the queue.
Did you have your pants back on at this point?
No.
What did you wipe your ass with?
Well, here's the thing, lots of leaves. Yeah. One of them was a dog leaf, actually, weirdly enough.
A dog leaf?
A dog leaf. They're the ones that help you with your stings.
Oh, why have you done this again? Why have you done this again?
I don't know this what is like... you're going to tell me here. This is the Mandela effect. They've always been called dog leaves. And that's it.
This is like potato. This is like a werewolf thinking that's just a normal name for a wolf. It's a dock leaf.
A dock?
Not a dog leaf.
What are you eating, Ethan?
I was on a drink.
Fucking dog leaf.
I thought it was called dog leaf because it's there to help you. Like so a blind dog helps the blind.
A blind dog doesn't help the blind. A guide dog helps the blind. Imagine that.
Wait,
a
who
blind
looks
dog.
After the blind dogs?
You get a guide hamster.
Right, should we get into the 9 out of 10 club?
I think we absolutely should. Now,
here we go. This is big, this.
This is one of mine. Keep sending yours in. Send out in your 9 out of 10 clubs to sloppyjoespodcast@gmail.com. We've got a few. We will get to them in other shows. But there's one that I thought, well, there's a sort of a stunning omission to the 9 out of 10 club.
Really? Really? That obvious?
Is that obvious? That no, as far as I'm aware, no one's done this.
Okay.
And it's something that I thought, you know, pretty much everyone loves.
Can we just show the bag first that this is coming?
The bag looks like it's something you would get at a swanky hotel in Dubai.
Yeah, or like you've been to Debenhams. Like, look at that. It's a black bag.
Look at that.
That is like sort of crisp and says thank you on it.
And that just tells you the quality of the restaurant. Now, this is something that I thought everyone liked. Until last night, when I had arranged with a friend of mine to go out for this food. And they were keen, obviously. I thought they liked it as well. I thought everyone liked it. And then last minute, they changed their mind. And they said, we're not going to go for that anymore. No. And instead, we're going to go to a sort of event with, you know, a lot of
friends,
my mates and people who you don't know.
Friends
is what
and
they
family.
Did.
Friends and family it was. It was
is
a
what
friends
they did.
And family event.
So I'm going to bring the meal that I thought I was going to be having for dinner last night.
You're not bringing.
Instead I didn't.
You're not bringing.
I've brought a lamb curry.
Oh no.
With naan, with rice. Now, what kind of friend would arrange to go out for a curry with their mate and on the last second cancel and go to a
You've
little...
got a lamb curry in front of us. Now, what kind did you order?
A spicy one.
Jesus, are you okay?
Hominy pie, that is warm. Right, I don't know if we've got any cutlery down here, but we might just have to dip naan bread straight into it.
Okay, yeah, we
but
can do
me,
that.
But for me, we've talked about this before, lamb is the best meat to go in a curry.
100%.
It's the only meat that holds its own flavour-wise.
Yeah.
Chicken just gets dragged into the mess.
It can be dry, can't it, Ethan?
Chicken can be dry.
Dry.
A prawn is good. A prawn can have a bit of flavour, but lamb is, because it's the strongest meat in flavour terms, I think it's the only one that fights back against the curry. And to me,
got a naan bread here. Very
lovely naan bread.
Naan bread.
This
very
isn't about
well
the naan bread. The naan bread is just a conduit.
No,
by
but
which
the naan
we...
bread, you know, it's needed, isn't it? You got a. Oh, God. Yeah.
Conduit by which to eat the curry.
So,
we're just going to do a little dip and rip.
Dip and rip. If this is like comically hot, we're all fucked.
Comic relief. Wow, there's a lot of.
Oh god, so it's just great to see that Joe's
tissues or something, Ethan.
Fingering. Oh my god, Joe, you got such a big bit.
I don't need that much. I need this. What bit,
are they? Are they lamb chops?
No, they're just lamb.
Oh, this is not good. Oh, this is messy. For the audio listeners, this is slightly horrific. I'm going to come round and steal some. Stay here, Ethan. Right then, as often in the 9 out of 10 club, there is a little edit as we devour what is brought to the table. As Joe slowly packs it away, I can say, although you didn't see it, we just had a very fun time with a lamb curry that is a little bit spicy in places, but was absolutely delicious. Ethan James, what was that like for you?
Well, it was absolutely delicious. The combination of that, eating it with the naan bread, there's something that's a lot more enjoyable, I think, having a curry doing that than necessarily with the rice. That was just, it was bursting with flavour, it was bursting with spice, it was nice and hot, not too hot, lovely on the tongue. I had a great time.
I would say that was a perfect level of spice. That,
yeah, very
but
nice
level of spice.
It's
warm, my mouth has still got a burn to it.
So, do you know what people
but
criticise
it's not
you on,
it's not punishing.
Is... I think it needs to be more precise because lamb curry is quite generic, isn't it?
That's a good point. Well, the thing is, let me tell you what this is. And obviously, we can go into specifics here. But what I will say is it was of a sort of a largely tomato-y, oniony type consistency.
Yeah.
It wasn't a you have a nutty, like an a korma is sort of cashew based. It wasn't a creamy based one. It was a tomato. I think it had a bit of yogurt in maybe, but it was your sort of Buna, Balti kind of style curry. I'll tell you the exact name for it. It was a lal mas, which I haven't heard before.
Lal mas.
But they didn't show them. How have we never put a curry into the 9 out of 10 club before?
I just think because it does get a little bit messy, doesn't it?
It does.
But, you know, being in the studio was a little bit messy, but I can tell you this, it was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, that's interesting. So how come when the chance was offered to you to go for a curry, you turned it down?
Because last night, Joe, we went to a friend's launch of her kitchen, which she's worked so hard on, and she's put loads of work into her ingredients and her menu, and we were invited to try it. We got 2 free drinks on arrival, let's not forget, drinks vouchers as well, as 3 cupcakes, all you can eat, little mini sausage rolls.
But you liked it, did you?
I did, I loved it. Right, it's going in the 9 out of 10 club.
It's got to, hasn't it?
Shadow of a doubt. Ethan James?
Well, is this representing all curries?
This is representing that style of lamb curry. So you kind of tomato and onion and garlic based curries.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those of that world, like I said, your Baltis, your Boonas, your sort of, the sort of curries where it's going to be brown and it's going to be tangy rather than creamy.
Yeah, I get you, Drew. And yeah, I think all this
they're very vague, and those come in lots of different names and spice levels and stuff. Yeah. But that style of curry.
Yeah, I think our listeners will understand this. Listen, did the Poppadoms ever get in, by the way?
The Poppadoms got in immediately, yeah, without any hesitation.
Didn't even have to try them.
Yeah, well, I think this is the perfect combination. It's in good company, I think, to join the Poppadoms and the 9 out of 10 club. It gets in. It's delicious.
Of course it does. We've been doing this for over a year, or nearly a year.
Nearly a year.
And we've not had a single curry in the 9 out of 10 club. Insane. Speaking of a year, Joe. There's something you'd like to say, isn't there?
There is something I'd like to say. We are going to be doing a live show again.
Joe's live too.
Joe, who always copies us, by the way?
Who?
Tyson Fury. Because whenever we do a live show, he boxes that night. He did it in December. And then now, on April the 29th, at 12 o'clock, we'll be doing a year celebration. It's a birthday bash. It's the highlight of the best bits. It's live 9 out of 10 club. It's birthday celebrations. Yes. There'll be cake and surprises, special guests, and, of course, rewards.
Yes.
Now, tickets are going to go on sale very, very soon. If not, they're already out right now. Mm. You just got to try and get them. Patrons get them first for a couple of days, so patrons will be hearing this, knowing that they've got the option to get them right now. If they sell out, they sell out.
Yeah.
There's only about 100 tickets to go. Yeah. So, if you're lucky enough to still get them, it's going to be a great, great
day. The link will be in the description.
I know we have a lot of Manchester United fans watching. Well, United play on the Sunday, so you can make a weekend of it.
Yeah.
Come up on the Saturday. Come to a live gig. Stay over in the night. Go to the game the next day.
And if you were,
happy days.
And even if you don't want to make 2 days of it, if you're worried about it clashing with a United game, it isn't.
It's not.
So
that's
come to watch Sloppy Joe's on the Saturday. Worry about United on the Sunday. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So this is the thing. Please make sure you get tickets now. Yeah. We're going to it's just a way of us celebrating a year of sloppiness.
Absolutely. And if you didn't get tickets last time, this is your chance to
get
them this time.
Would it be Gunge?
Might be Gunge. Birthday Gunge, mate.
Birthday Gunge. Right, I've got a lovely Agony Bants.
Agony Bants.
Agony Bants.
Agony Bants.
Agony Bants. To finish off today's show.
Lovely.
This is from, Anonymous. Can you give him a name, please, Ethan?
Yes, of course. How about Tim?
Tim's been in touch. I'm from the United States and I've been applying for a new job this year. After many failed attempts, I found the perfect opportunity.
Great.
Dream position, solid pay, and move out of my beautiful state of Oregon. Oh. But there's a catch. I have a weird suspicion. In fact, I know that the person who is interviewing me has a connection with me, as in from the past. Something was nagging me the whole time whilst I was doing the interview with this person in a high position. Did I forget something? Did I say something was wrong in this interview? All of a sudden, I realised that I recognised the executive director who was interviewing me as she was my ex's best friend.
Ooh.
Somehow, over thousands of jobs across the US, I've decided to get a position next to someone I had a former relationship with, and things turned very sour.
Oh, no.
So my question to you, also just to add in there in brackets, this ex-partner actually gave all my clothes away to the homeless.
I mean, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Swings and roundabouts.
Not good for you, great for them.
Awkward. So, sloppies. I love he's called us sloppies, not sloppers. Sloppies. My question is, do I continue to go through the next stage of the interview process to the dream job? Or do I bite the bullet and get the hell out of there?
The thing you have to decide is, are you telling the truth? If this job that you are applying for right now is your dream job, go for it.
Yes.
Because she's probably going to struggle to sack you. Mm-hmm. But she could make it so that you never get promoted.
So if you're
going into this job thinking, in 2 years' time, I'll have done this, I'll have risen through the ranks, genuinely, she could maybe try to stop that she still thinks you're a knob.
And if things turn sour...
That's what I mean. Because regardless of whose fault it was, she's sticking up for her mate.
Of course.
As you would expect anyone to do. I'm sure all his mates say that she was annoying. I'm sure all of her mates say that he was annoying. So
for you, Joe, if you do employ, if someone sort of you recognise they had a relationship with your previous partner, one of my friend's exes. Yes, and it didn't end well.
Oh, that's good. What was the name of the girl you went to see the script with?
Neve.
Chloe.
So if Chloe applied to work for Stretford Paddock,
exactly.
I'd hire them on the spot. Just for the bants, because I think that'd be hilarious watching Ethan absolutely squirm every day at work.
And Ethan, what kind of profession does Chloe do? Will she ever want a job at Stretford Paddock?
No, I think she's a teacher these days.
I think we could do with a bit of that around here.
Yeah, a bit of order.
Yeah. It genuinely could bite you in the arse that.
Yeah.
If you've got a person in a high position in your work who's got a reason to think you're a dickhead, that genuinely could be a tough issue. What do you reckon?
I think it can sort of... There's two ways of me looking at it. If possibly this is something you really want to do and you want to get out of your hometown and you're thinking about this new adventure of your life, just bite the bullet and go for it. Because she's in a good role, this person. Mm. So maybe she's more professional than maybe holding witty sort of things against you. So I'm thinking, go for it. Mm. Just go for it, bite the bullet. And maybe, who knows, maybe you can sort of turn things around.
Have you ever fallen out with any of your ex's friends? Or had any sort of run-ins or scuffles?
No, not really. We did, because I've only got one proper ex, and we did dramas together. So
What were your other exes?
What do you mean?
Improper.
As in, what Ethan would say, like in like primary school and that.
Right.
So not like ones that you'd... Well, I know Ethan always talks about his, but I just forgot about that. No, never. Well, it was awkward because when we broke up, we were in a play with some of her exes. I was in a play with some of my ex's friends.
So you've got the exact track record to answer this question.
I didn't go for an audition. I already got the main part.
Well, that's the thing. He might get the part anyway. So how was it on set with your ex's mates after you'd broken up?
We were all very professional.
What was it? Miss Saigon?
No. What's the one with witches?
Witches? Oh, Wicked?
Wicked.
Nope. It's the Witch Trials.
What?
Witch Trials. Come on, it's very, very famous. There's a witch trial. It's in America. His wife gets
Salem.
Sent out. The Salem Witch Trials. What's it called, though? Come on.
I don't know.
You do. Salem Witch Trials.
You were in it. How do you not know it?
The Fodder.
What?
And I was hoping that if I... The Fodder.
So you're hoping that if you sort of just gently whisper a sentence, it will come to you? Is that not doing it?
Salem Witch Trials.
We were very professional. Can't remember the name of the fucking show.
The Crucible.
Right, of course. No one...
Well,
no.
I auditioned for it. It was about snooker.
Did you?
I was fuming.
That's good.
That's
really good.
Why are they...
Yeah, why is there a broom on the end of my pool cue, by the way? Why is there bristles on it?
There's Ronnie O'Sullivan.
That doesn't make any sense.
There's no way they're sending Ronnie.
Yeah, why has no one else got a waistcoat on? Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Right, guys, it's time to call it a day.
What a show.
What a show. gonna be a scrap for the rest of that lamp.
We're all diving on it. It's gonna be like first base at a baseball game, isn't it? Everyone's sliding in. Ethan's sliding
in. Yeah, you love it. Thank you very much for watching. Leave us a little like and a sub. Make sure you get your tickets for the live show. Yes. We'd love to see you down there. We have been the Sloppy Joes. See you in a bit. Bye.
Wave, Ethan.
Oh, bye. Bye. Ta-ra. Bye.